D.L. Moody once said, "I know of nothing that speaks louder for Christ and Christianity than to see a man or woman giving up what they call their rights for others and in honor preferring one another."
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We are so glad you are with us today. And Pastor Philip, we got to get right to this because we're talking now about God's perspective, if you please, regarding our rights. That's a little different from my perspective, I think. So God's perspective on our rights.
Yeah. Well, that's what that quotation from D.L. Moody is getting at, that naturally in the world, everyone is about themselves. They're about their own interests, their own rights, their own privileges, their own entitlements. Everything's about me, 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 me. And what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives as He's conforming us to the image of Christ and making us into a Christian community that is learning to love each other deeply from the heart, that we might resemble our Father who is in heaven and give ourselves away in love. That transforming work is so otherworldly, so supernatural, so utterly different that it shines. This is a supernatural work that can only come from God. And as followers of Christ, we are called to live in a radically different sort of way that lays down our rights and privileges and our entitlements to serve one another in sacrificial love and service. This is an utterly different vision for life, and it's what God's all about.
Let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church, where we'll explore this paradoxical way of living. This is part three of the sermon, The Basics of Service. Our text today is Philippians 2, verses 1 through 18.
Now let's look at the beauty of true greatness, the beauty of true greatness. Verse 14, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me." He says, if we are to become truly great like Jesus, full of servant-hearted humility and others' first sacrificial love, we're not going to be grumbling or complaining or griping, not going to be disputing or arguing or fighting. What would it look like instead? Blamelessness, innocence, unblemished children of God. That's who you are. You would bear the family resemblance of our Father and Jesus Christ, His Son, our brother, and the Holy Spirit, whose life is now our own. And we would shine as lights, as stars in the universe in this crooked and twisted generation, a light of hope to a lost and dying world, holding fast, not to our own rights, but holding fast to the word of life to the very end. Paul says, "I want to see you faithful, enduring, holy in every way, righteous, but for the throne of God in glory." That's what my whole life is about, Paul says. I'm laboring and running this race. This is why I'm in the game. I want to see your faithfulness to the very end. And that would be my great joy, even if this is my last act and my life is being poured out and this is my final few days on earth. If that's true, I rejoice because this was worth every moment to see you become glorious like Jesus Christ. And that's my joy, and I want you to mingle that your joy with mine. And all of this comes down to whether you will say yes to the way of Jesus. Whether you will step, you and I, whether we will step into this call to true greatness, to become like Christ, will we give up our rights and privileges? Will we humble ourselves? Will we become a servant? Will we sacrifice? Will we give of ourselves? Will we put others first? Only then, friends, will we have unity and humble love in the family of God. Only then will we be revealed as the blameless children of God that we are. Only then will we shine like stars, like lights in a crooked and twisted generation. Only then will we hold fast to the very end, to the glory that Christ is calling us to. Friends, becoming truly great like Jesus means going against the flow. Becoming truly great like Jesus means going against the flow. Friends, we're not going to learn sacrificial, self-giving, others-focused love from this twisted and crooked generation. Right? We're not going to learn that from ourselves. We're not going to learn how to, in love, lay down our rights and privileges from our cable news stations. We're not going to learn how to become sacrificial servants of all from our political leaders. We're not going to learn how to look out for the interests of others from our social media channels. No, if we're going to become truly great like Jesus, it's going to mean going against the flow. I was talking this week with a bunch of Chicagoland pastors all throughout Chicago here. And much of our conversation centered around how disheartening it has been over the past year, watching the world infect our churches. It is so angry out there. It is so bitter, so divisive, so toxic. Over every imaginable issue, race, politics, you name it. It is so toxic out there, and we were lamenting how instead of shining like light in a crooked and twisted generation, our churches have been so often infected by the prevailing culture around us. Instead of shining with sacrificial, self-giving, humble, others-focused love, we have so often been grumbling and disputing like everyone else. And friends, may I plead with you, for the sake of Christ, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any comfort from his love, if there is any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but the interests of others. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of this crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that on the day of Christ, I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. D.L. Moody once said, I know of nothing that speaks louder for Christ and Christianity than to see a man or woman giving up what they call their rights for others and in honor preferring one another. So here's the takeaway. True greatness means becoming a servant of all. True greatness means becoming a servant of all. Remember what Jesus said, whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now here's the fact of the matter. Most of us will not give our lives away in one fell swoop, will we? We're not going to do it. It's not a once and done deal. It is the accumulation of 1,000 small acts of selfless love and sacrificial service. That's how we give our lives away. It happens when we take out the garbage or clean up the mess or share the last bite or hold our tongues or when we allow ourselves to be inconvenienced for others, when we give more than our fair share, when we choose to break the silence, when we say I'm sorry first, when we extend forgiveness to someone who's not really sorry enough yet, when we choose to bless our enemies, when we choose to lend a hand, as the Spirit prompts and leads and empowers, we step out and obey. I want to leave you with one question. It's a servant's question. The question is, how can I help? How can I help? Anybody can use this question. When you're tired and exhausted and thinking about yourself, find someone and ask, how can I help? And whatever they say, just do it in the strength and joy of the Spirit as he calls you to become more like Christ. It's not glamorous, but it's the stuff of true greatness. And in the end, it's what really matters.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're so glad that you're joining us today. That question, it reveals the heart, the motive. How can I help? I don't know. How many times have I said that? I'm sure our listeners want to hear more about this question. How can I help?
It is a very powerful question. It's simple, right? But how can I help? Because it comes out of a servant-hearted space that is willing to say, what do you need? And what can I do that can reach you in this moment? And how can I serve you? And how can I be there for you? And if you think about it, it's really, you go back to the very beginning, Adam and Eve in the garden, they're entrusted with the keeping and care, the nurture of this space. They're there to serve. They're there to help. They're there to unleash the beauty of creation. They're there to serve one another in love. They're to cultivate and keep the garden and take care of something beyond themselves. And then, of course, sin enters. They fall. They disobey. They eat the fruit. They rebel against God. And you start to see this incurvature of their souls as everything becomes about them. And it's about blame and self-preservation and self-interest. And So the very gift that we have been given, this beautiful stewardship, this beautiful gift and assignment to go out and care for things and shepherd them and care and cultivate and keep and serve, that same muscle now turns inward and it becomes about self-protection and making sure I have what I need and blaming others, and it's all of that. So the Holy Spirit now has come into our life and he's undoing that inward bent of the soul, and he's turning us outward, focusing on others and teaching us to love and serve and give ourselves away for the sake of other people. That's what that question's getting at. How can I help? And I just think back to like eternity past when the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are watching humanity go into this rebellion and bringing the curse and all of the brokenness into the world as the world is unraveling and becoming a mess with Adam and Eve's sin. And every one of us have ratified that in our own sinful actions. I think at some point, this kind of a question is what Jesus must have said to the Father. Just, how can I help? Like, how can I help rescue this mess? And that's the heart of Jesus, who moved toward us and said, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll become a human being with all the limitations assumed there. I will become mortal and woundable and killable, and I'll even go to a shame-filled death on a cross. If that's what it takes to save those people, to reconcile a world that's gone off the rails and bring it back home and reconcile it to you, Father, how can I help? I'll do whatever it takes. How can I help? So it's a Jesus question, and it's the question we're learning to put at the very center of our lives and our beings. It's what we're called to live out with one another. How can I help?
Yeah, the authentic part about it is, you know, someone could ask that question and you tell them and they say, yeah, I'm not doing that. But implied in this is that whatever it is I can do, I'm going to do, and I'm willing to do it.
Yeah, it doesn't work if you ask the question and they go, nah, that's too hard.
Yeah, I can't do that.
That's too much.
Yeah, but it does raise this for us. I mean, so you talked about in the sermon, 1,000 small acts of selfless service. Okay, that sounds good, but there's some Rubicons here. There's some rocky parts where there's some relationships where that's just difficult, yes?
Yeah. Well, I think what we'll find is that the closer the relationship, the harder this is.
Tell me more.
So it's easy to go to a soup kitchen and hand out a bowl of soup to somebody maybe you'll never see again and pat yourself on the back and said, I did a little Jesus thing in their life. And that's a good thing. We don't want to minimize it. But at some level, that's quite easy to go serve a stranger. What's a lot harder is to serve your kids, to serve your spouse.
Every day.
That's right. Every day. You got to wake up every morning. And even if they aren't perfect, and here's the reality. Everybody's a sinner, broken. We're going to get on each other's nerves. We're going to step on each other's toes. We're going to hurt each other's feelings. And so every relationship we have that's up close and personal is full of excuses, potential excuses of why I don't need to serve this person. Well, they hurt me 2 Thursdays ago. And so I'm still holding on to that, and I'm not going to, right? So there's a million reasons why you could choose not to serve. But this call is to be led by the Spirit, to step out in faith and say, you know what? This is what Christ is forming me to become, a person who serves, who is humble, who gives themselves away in love. And so, you know what? I'm going to choose, how can I help? And I'm going to choose service because that's what the Spirit's doing in my life. And even though the people around me are going to hurt me and they're not always going to respond well and they're not, it's imbalanced at some level, but I'm going to choose to insert grace even in an undeserving scenario because that's how Christ has loved me.
Amen. I think that's a really good definition of love, isn't it? It's a matter of choice and will. I don't know that I'm going to put out there for the airways that my wife is not perfect. I'm not going to say that, but I got your point. So for our listeners, though, they're saying, you know what? I work a job. I volunteer. I'm tired. I'm just worn out. And so how do I have this attitude of service when I'm just physically and mentally, emotionally, I'm just drained?
Well, that's where it's at that's the greatest test, isn't it? When you're at the end of yourself, how do you keep loving, serving, and giving? And I think it's important we look at Jesus, right? The Garden of Gethsemane. He has nothing left. He's pouring himself out. He's in agony. His disciples are napping, you know? And it's like, but he still is pursuing them in love. That's the very night he washed their feet. It's the night he's going to be betrayed and go to the cross in the greatest act of love and self-donation the world has ever seen. So in the midst of even when undeserving people and exhaustion, Jesus is still pouring himself out. In other words, we're seeing the very heart of God, that God gives himself away again and again and again and again. And that's what true greatness looks like. And so here's the question is, how do you do that? How do you give yourself away when there's nothing left to give? And I imagine my life is kind of like, if you think of like a pipe and you've got a valve on the open, on the upper end of the pipe, and you got a valve on the bottom end of the pipe. That upper part of the pipe is meant to be connected to God. And you got to get that valve wide open so you can receive the grace and mercy and presence and resources of God himself in your life. And then the bottom part of that pipe.
I just keep that closed off for me?
No. Well, so that's the temptation, is I'm tired, so I can't spend anything. But if you open both valves, you open the top, which is meant to be connected to God. You open the bottom, which is meant to be pouring out yourself in love and sacrifice and self-giving to others. Actually, when you open both valves all the way up, so you're receiving copious amounts of resources and grace from God, and you're shedding it out, pouring it out in the lives of others, that's when the flow rate goes up to its highest. And that's when all the gunk gets cleaned out. And it's actually, that's when we're most like Christ, is when we are spending and pouring out grace as rapidly as we're receiving it, because you cannot outgive God. There's always more resources. And I always admire Christ on the cross. You know, he's looking at his enemies. He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And that's an amazing statement. How do you love someone when they're so undeserving? What resources is he harnessing on the cross where he can continue to love and forgive and pour himself out in sacrificial love for people who don't deserve it, who are actively inflicting wounds on him? This is amazing. And Jesus is showing us the amount of resources and grace that are available in the universe. If we will open ourselves fully to God and pour ourselves out at the same time, those resources of grace are endless. And so I think that's what you do in faith. You keep loving and you keep giving yourself away in love, and you open yourself up to Christ and you say, I'm going to love, but you've got to fill me up. I feel like there's nothing left, but you supply. You be all that I need, and I'm going to act in obedience. That's what we're talking about.
And that's that end goal of service, isn't it? That he takes the little that we have and he multiplies it for his glory. What a great reminder, too, that our Lord and Savior got tired, but he didn't quit. So I love it. To ensure you're equipped to live in the power of the gospel, we're offering the book Be Joyful by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Often, you know, the reason people aggravate us and steal our joy is usually because we aren't in control of the situation. You know, Pastor Wiersbe shows us that Christians with the submissive mind, they don't expect to be served, but instead they choose to serve others. This mindset is modeled by Christ himself, who possessed deep joy while coming to serve, even laying his life down as a ransom for many. That's why for a limited time only, we're offering Be Joyful for a donation of any amount. Now, to request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com, or you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope. where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.